Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You can go ahead and be seated. If you're here today and you're saved, you're saved because you're trusting in Jesus to get you to heaven. You have your confidence in the finished work of Christ. You believe that Jesus Christ died. You believe he was buried, and you believe he rose again, and you believe he's coming back because his word says he was. Amen. We're living in a peculiar time. Some of y'all young people were seeing all this for the first time. Some of y'all were raised in the 80s. Here we go again. And when you look around our world, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. Amen. But for the church should be getting a little excited right now. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, you know, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. I do know this. There's a lot going on over there that's telling us the season's getting close. And regardless of that, Brother Jimmy, China's at unrest with the United States, Russia's, Ukraine, the Saudis. Get ready to get your wallet out. Here it comes. Oil prices are going up. And when that goes up, it gets the world's attention because the love of is the of all evil. Amen. Y'all know your Bible. So get ready. There's going to be some things coming. But here's the great thing about it. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We serve the living God. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. If he's able to take care of the sparrow, how much more is he able to take care of his children? Amen. 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 He said, trust in the Lord. We are definitely trusting God to get us to heaven. But are we trusting him in the meantime? Are we trusting him every day? Do we have our trust in him in our everyday affairs? It's amazing that Abraham did exactly what God asked him to do. And it had to be very difficult to do. Leave your kindred, get out, take off to a land that I'll show you. He took off walking, not even knowing where he was going. He did a lot of things that God asked him to do. But God asked him to do something very specific one day. He said, take thy son, thy only son. Take him up on a mountain. And he said, offering him there as an offering. We know the story. He takes his son. They're on the way up the hill. Finally, he figures out, hey, there's wood. We got that. But where's the offering? Abraham makes a very interesting statement. He said, God will provide himself an offering. He will provide for himself an offering. They get up there, and Abraham, in his faith and in his belief, takes the knife and he draws it back. And I believe everything in me, Zach, he would have finished the job. But Abraham had some faith, because when he left with the boy, he said, I and the lad go yonder to worship. And he said, but we will return. So I believe Abraham believed that if he did kill him, God would bring him back to life, because the promise was in Isaac. I said the promise was in Isaac. He had to give him his Ishmael. He required of him to give him Ishmael. Take the bondwoman and her son and cast them away. And Abraham did that. Again, a very difficult thing to do. He had had a relationship with Ishmael. If I got it added up, Ishmael was around 14 years old when he walked down the road and had to stop and let him go with Hagar. The problem is, sin has consequences. Let me say that again. When we operate outside of the plan of God, there are consequences. And he gave Ishmael away because that was a mistake of Abraham. The reason we're seeing what's going on over there right now is because of the mistake of Abraham. I want to let you know something about all of these Islamic people. They all hate each other. But there's one thing that unites them, and that is their hate for Israel. Why is that? If you can't see the connection between God choosing to bring the Messiah through that land and the hate of the world, then you don't know your Bible. It doesn't make any other sense why they would hate them. But let me tell you something about the enemy. He hates the people of God. He hates God's promise. He hates God's covenant. And he hates you. There's a battle going on. But this battle has been going on for a long time. Abraham take Isaac up on the mountain. He takes the knife. He draws it back. And the angel stops him. And said, God says, now he knows you fear him. Huh? After all the stuff that Abraham did, after leaving his family and walking out and doing everything that God asked him to do, it wasn't until he drew the knife back on Isaac that God said, now I know you fear me. The word fear there means respect. What is he saying? Do we really trust God? Do we really trust him in our day-to-day? I'm going to heaven, and I trust I'll get there. But, Doug, I've not just got to trust him to get to heaven. I got to trust him to take my next step, because the steps of the righteous man is ordered by the Lord. I'm going to tell you why he understood at that moment that he knew that Abraham respected him. Because at that point, Abraham wasn't giving God his past. He was giving him his future. It's easy for us to give God our Ishmaels, our mistakes, and our past. It's easy to give him all of our sin. But the way God knows you really trust him is when you don't give him your past, but you give him your future, and you put your future in his hand. I serve a God who knows how to care for what belongs to him. Can you say amen? Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. You know what we do? We lean on our own understanding a lot. Well, I believe God is able, but if he... Well, I was thinking that, but I need... But we should... Let me tell you what we should do. Trust in Jesus. Let me tell you what else we should do. Trust in Jesus. And three, plan three, trust in Jesus. Because I promise you, he knows how to care for what belongs to him. If you're his child, you're okay. Is that chair comfortable? Do you trust it? Yeah. You know how I know you trust it? Because you sat in it. Who would sit in a chair they don't trust? Have you ever seen a chair you didn't trust? You ever seen one of them white lawn chairs that somebody had done bent the back legs on? You walk up to that thing, you're like, nah, I don't trust that one. You don't have to tell me you trust the chair that you're sitting in. You know how I know? Because I can see you sitting in it. You trust, you had all confidence that when you sat down, it was enough to hold you, didn't you? You sound a little unsure. You know how I know that you trust the chair? Because I don't see anybody trying to help it. Nobody is sitting in the chair kind of pushing up with your legs just in case. You have rested all of it on the chair. You are completely trusted and rested in that chair. If we trust God like we ought to trust him, let me tell you what we'll do. We'll stop trying to help him and we'll rest in the fact that God is able. We won't try to help him. We won't try to assist him. We'll just sit down and rest knowing that my God is enough. He's more than able. He is enough. My God is not just any God. He's the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. You know what you do with God? That very thing. Oh, you'll rest in him in some spots. You'll trust him to get you to heaven, but you won't trust him with your finances. Oh, you'll trust him to get you to heaven, but you won't trust him to deal with that crazy boss you got. You know why your knees are hurting? Because you just keep trying to help God do everything. Man, I trust him. He said, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own kneecaps. That's not what it said. It said, don't lean on your own understanding. You're trying to help him. He don't need your help. He just needs you to trust him. Eric, he's made the best possible outcome for you. He's bringing you to an expected end. An expected end. What does that mean? That means God knows where he's taking you to. You don't want to cruise with the paddle. Well, thank God I got this cruise. What's that? It's my paddle. I got to help this boat. That don't seem like much of a cruise. That seems like Greenbrier River to me. Do you understand what God has called you to? Oh, man, I hope we get this, because we got to stop leaning on our own understanding. We got doomsday prophets right now going crazy. They're having the time of their life right now. There'll be books written about this. I'm telling you. Told you I lived through the 80s. All kinds of books. 88 Reasons for 88. Y'all know that book. It went on sale in 1989. 88 Reasons Why Jesus Come Back in 88. Because Israel was established in 1948 and a generation will not pass away before they seen the destruction. Generations 40 years, 48, 40, 88. I was scared to death as a kid. People looking at me saying, this generation won't pass away. Jesus is coming back. The blood's going to be up to the horse's bridle. The band of sin's going to be revealed. And I believe it's the Pope. They taught me all this stuff. You'll never live long enough to have kids. I did. Now my kids are having kids. But I promise you this. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not coming. We talked Wednesday night, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. What were they doing in Noah's day? They were unaware. They were drinking, giving in marriage. They're just having themselves a normal, ordinary time until the day that Noah went in the ark. We need to let this world know there's a day coming. But before that day ever gets here, they got to take care of something inside of them and get their trust out of the things of this world and get their trust in the one who is able to deliver them from the power of sin. We got to let them know that there's a Jesus that still saves, that still delivers, that still liberates. We got to let them know there's a man named Jesus who has all power in his hand and he loves them. Woo! Jeremy, you just gotta say, whoa! There's a Savior. He said, trust me. Don't lean on your own understanding. You are tired because you're trying to fight a battle that's already been won. Trust me. Trust me. Can we trust him? Psalms 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek ye thee. He said, they're going to know your name. And when they know your name, they're going to put their trust in you. What he's talking about there is they're going to know your character. They're going to know who you are. They're going to know what you're about. And they're going to trust you. Listen to me really close. I've had people look at me and say, my God would never do what the God of the Bible did. You're right. Your God wouldn't, because your God doesn't exist.
But the God of the Bible is the true Bible, is the true God. And let me tell you something about the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible made a way that the sinner could get out of sin. Let me tell you something about the God of the Bible. Let me tell you something about, let me tell you what he did. He went in and he did this and he did this and he did this. Let me tell you what he did. He killed his only begotten son so that you could have access to him. And that access is free to you by faith through grace. That not of yourself. That's a gift. He gave it to you. Let me tell you something about the character of God. Oh, man. My God wouldn't do this and my God, no, he wouldn't. He ain't real. So we better find the real God and measure up. Amen. He said, do they know your character? They put their trust in you. Do you trust God? How do I trust God? First, I got to trust his word. Can I say that again? I got to trust his word. If you don't trust his word, you can't trust him. So you have to trust his word. You've got to trust that God loved you enough that he found a way to preserve these manuscripts and get them in your hand. But not just his word, you got to trust your experience with him. Why do you say that? I'm going to tell you why I say that. Because Job didn't have a Bible. Job didn't have a Bible, but he had an experience with God. Somewhere he had a relationship with God, in so much that he would get up and offer sacrifices, not just for himself, but for his children, just in case they had done something. He didn't get that out of a book. He got that through relationship. You need to understand the scripture, but you also need to have an experience with God for yourself. Wow. You can't make me doubt it. I know too much about it. Why? Oh, I got to do this. There's a Christ of history. There is a Christ of history. Jesus Christ was counted in a Roman census. Do you understand that? Yeah, they did census back then. I don't know if they went door to door because you didn't fill yours out. I don't know if it happened or not. But I know this. They did Roman census. They counted people, and they brought them down there to be taxed. Yep, they did that too. Devil's been around for a long time. Jesus was counted in the Roman census. Whether Jesus Christ of Nazareth existed or not, it's not debatable. That's a historical fact. There is a Christ of history. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born to a Joseph and a Mary, kinda. He worked as a carpenter. All of that. He claimed to be deity. He claimed to be Messiah. The religious folks hated him, so they decided to kill him. He was messing up their religion. And let me tell you what ties in really good with religion. Money. The love of is the of. Yeah, you got it. So these leaders, they were in cahoots with the Roman government. That temple exchange is going on. People are coming to worship. They're flipping money, and Jesus is flipping tables. What were they doing? They were making money off people's worship. Rome was cut in on it. They were getting a percentage of it, so they're okay with it. Jesus comes in, starts flipping over tables, started messing up religion, started messing up the pockets, and then Rome started noticing what was going on. He said, this was going to be my father's house, but you've turned it in to a den of thieves. Can I tell you something? Jesus is serious about his house and his worship. Oh. Rome's getting tore up. Don't mess with that. Don't mess with that. Jesus messed it all up. So they crucify him. We got to get rid of this. This has got to go. But oh, let me tell you something about him. They couldn't keep him down long. He said, destroy this temple. They thought he was talking about that temple. He wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about himself. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He leaves the disciples. He says, tarry ye here after the resurrection. He says, tarry ye here until ye be endued with power from on high. Let me tell you how I knew whether they trusted him or not, whether they stayed in the upper room or not. They get in the upper room and they pray for a span of 10 days. Preach on us, preacher. We can't pray for 10 minutes. Dear Lord, I come to you. Anyway, God, I was wanting to tell you that. Hey, honey, do you know so-and-so split up? Oh, sorry, I need to pray. I'm telling you, we can't pray for 10 minutes. We want the power of Pentecost without the dedication of Pentecost, and we're never going to get it. Peter prayed for 10 days, preached a 10-minute sermon, 3,000 people got saved. We want to pray for 10 minutes and preach for 10 years on that 10-minute prayer, and nothing happens. We need power back in the church. We need power back in our prayer. We need power back in our preaching. We need power back in our witnessing. We need a witness to this world that that Savior is still alive. I got my trust in him. I got my confidence in him, and it's going to be all right. The angel said, why stand ye here gazing? Y'all know my take on that? I know why. Because a dude just flew away.
Jesus just floated away. And the angel's like, why stand ye here gazing? Are you kidding me? I watch a helium balloon forever.
You know what's so funny to do? Try this sometime. If you got a sense of humor, just try it. If you're out on the street somewhere, just stop and start going. I promise you, some people try to be cool about it, they'll go. Some people just. If, how many of y'all have done what I, when they let balloons loose, you stand there and you go, I can still see it. I can still see it. I'm going to see this on Discovery Channel wrapped around some seal's nose. But I see it. So imagine if a person floats away. Why stand you here gazing? Are you kidding?
Did you see what I see?
But the angel said, this same Jesus that you see go away is coming back in like manner. This same Jesus. I don't know about you, but I trust him. I trust that the same Jesus that ascended is coming back after his bride.
Oh, man. You know how you know I trust him? I rest in
I completely rest in him. I promise I am not trying to help Jesus with my salvation anymore. I used to. Well, God, I'm glad you saved me, but I want to be really good so that I'll be more saved. Well, I really messed up today, so I must be less saved. No, sir. I am resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, my sanctification is a whole nother deal. My salvation is settled.
That's better than y'all acted like.
Why do you keep working when the work is already done? Why do you keep trying to get good enough to be saved when you'll never get good enough? Why can't you realize that Jesus did it all, paid it all, and he gave it to you? Now do something with it, because you got it not to get it. Oh, if some of y'all would just hear this, you'd have less wrinkles. You're walking around stressing, am I going to make it or am I not going to make it? Well, I was good this week. I asked him this morning in Sunday school how many people sinned this week. You ought to have seen them. I said, how many of y'all sinned a little? Some of them raised their hand. I said, how many of y'all sinned a lot? Nobody raised their hand. I said, how many of y'all sinned a lot and you don't want to raise your hand to let us know you sinned a lot? Is your salvation based on your performance? No, your sanctification is. Your fellowship is. Don't sin. Stop sinning. Get that out of your life. But do it because you love him, not trying to get him to do something for you. Man, you're going to get a whole new life if you stick around here. You're going to have a whole new motivation for living. You're going to get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm saved. I'm resting in that. But now, because I am Jesus, I'm going to do something for you today. And when the enemy comes, I'm not going to let him break our fellowship because me and you, we tight. Rest, trust in him. Last verse. You ready? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This scripture bothers me. And don't look at me like you're so righteous that you don't read any scriptures that bother you. This is talking about your government. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Wow. Does that not bother you a little bit? So you're telling me that Joe Biden was ordained by God to be where he is? Anybody struggle with that? You mean to tell me that Kamala Harris is ordained to be where she's supposed to be? Does that not bother anybody? See, you thought ordained was a big holy word, didn't you? I've been ordained. Don't mean a thing. Just means just put in a spot by God. I'm an ordained man. Don't mean nothing. So is Joe Biden. But check this out. When God gets ready to do something, he puts the pieces where he wants them. Oh, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Yeah, everybody's tore up. COVID's coming back. The election's coming next year. They're going to bring that COVID back. They're going to start sending out all them false tests, and people's going to prove positive, and it's all going to be an election. We're going to have a shutdown. It's coming. Just cost the election because they hate Trump. What are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about? You think the whole world revolves around our election? Oh, preacher. I think I might just go with this. What are you saying all this for? Because I trust God. I don't stay up at night worried about Joe Biden. I don't stay up at night worried about Netanyahu. He's right where God wants him to be. Because there be no powers unless God ordains them to be put in those places. So this is awesome. I don't have to fret because God's got all that in control. Woo! I'm going to help your wrinkles, people. I'm going to make you have smooth faces because you're going to stop worrying about all this stuff. They stole our election. They stole our election. God made it all. It's good. God's got it. You think your answer is in the White House, and it's not in the White House. It's in the church house. You think your answer is going to come from Washington. It's going to come from a prayer room. You think that up there is going to change it. They can't change one hair on the eye. Come on. I'm talking about I got my trust in God. Well, preacher, you know how many times I've heard that. What do you think about this going over there? I said, man, I'm pumped. And I used to get mad at, y'all know, I used to get mad at Jack Van Impey and Roxelle over this, but man, Jack, it's going to be wonderful. Blood up to the horse's bridle. Yes, Roxella, Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 says, I mean, they would, and I'm sitting there as a kid like, this is not good. Like, Roxella, we're going to die, and Russia, and Gog, and Magog, and Armageddon, and this just ain't good, Roxella. And you act like you're so excited about it. I think Roxella may have had a revelation. Because for the church, let me tell you what brings people to church. Let me tell you what gets them to come. 9/11. 9/11, Easter, Mother's Day. That gets people to church. Fathers, y'all are pathetic. Kids will come to church for their mama, but they won't come for you.
Come on, mama, say amen. That's true. You know Mother's Day is our second largest attendance of the year outside of Easter. What am I talking about this for? I don't know. I'm just stuck right here. People get concerned. Rightfully so. They know enough about Scripture to know that something's coming. Jesus said, I used to hear this all the time as a kid, wars and rumors of wars.
Well, that's always been around.
But then I read the Bible. That's always a good thing to do is read the Bible. Because some of these people just quote what they heard and part of it they don't understand. Jesus said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but the time has not yet come. Why didn't they finish the Scripture? Because I'm sitting there, I don't know, anybody here lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis? Please raise your hand. Was anybody nervous about the Cold War? Does anybody know what that was? Surely they're gonna. Did anybody here take history in school? Please raise your hand. Was it before or after lunch? After lunch, preacher, I was snoozing. I had fear. I really had fear. I thought that the Scripture said he would come back for those that loved his appearing meant that I needed to be watching when he came. I can remember being a kid looking out the window, trying to keep my eyes open. I think he's coming back tonight. Because I wanted to see him come because I thought that would mean that I got in. I didn't want to go to hell. I said, I didn't want to go to hell. I still don't want to go to hell. I love laughing. There will be no laughing in hell. Don't want no part of it. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. It's a real place. So I punched my ticket to not go there.
You're as excited as I am about that because it's me that ain't going.
What about you? Why are you allowing this stuff to take away your confidence in your relationship with Jesus? Can I say that again? Fear is not of God. Let me tell you what the devil can't mess with. Somebody that ain't afraid of dying. Eddie told me this years ago, and I use it all the time. Don't threaten me with heaven. I told him Wednesday, I do not want to die tonight. I don't. But if I do, I'm ready. And I won't have to work tomorrow. Rest. Rest in Jesus. Come on. Come on, Chandler. Come on, Aaron. Come on, Josh. Come on, Michael. Come on, Ian. I want to help you. I want to help you. If you're not right, if your relationship is not right with Jesus, get it right before you leave. Because I don't want you to go to hell. But more so than not wanting you to go to hell, I want you to know Jesus. That I might know him in the power of his resurrection. If you're a Christian and you're at work and you're scared to death about what's going on over there, you're not helping anybody. Can I say that again? You're not helping anybody. What's going on? I don't know. Oh, Lord. Woo! Are you nervous? Scared to death? What do you think is going to happen? I don't know, but I'm scared. Oh. Well, I'll just say scared too then. You know what I say? I mean, I got opportunities. You know how many people told me I was going to be here today and they ain't here? Because you know what happens? Fear wears off. I went to the altar when I was a kid because I didn't want to go to hell because they preached a hot and we had a coal stove in our house. And, you know, them coal stoves get real red, and they use it as an illustration. They said, hey, my old pipes get hot. Hey, man, you need to come over here to the altar so you don't burn. And I was like, yeah, I'm coal stove. I don't want to. I'm going. I don't want to burn. Because it was, you know what I was concerned about? My flesh. Because they scared me fleshly.
I do not like to be burnt.
I don't like welding burn, torch burn. But every time I touch one, I get burnt. I don't want to burn. But more so than you not going to hell, I want to make sure you know Jesus. Because knowing him is way more awesome than missing hell. As awesome as missing hell is, knowing him is better. Sam, I got my trust in him. I got my trust in him. I got my trust in him. Preacher, we're going to war with China in the next year. They're going to try to take over Taiwan. Okay. In the meantime, I'm going to keep preaching. Hey, listen, I don't want to be morbid, but none of us are getting out here alive anyway. Well, I just want to look good while I'm here. Everything on you is going to fall apart. Anybody over 60, say amen. See, they're too tired. They can't even say amen. As they sing this song, we've had prayer. We had an altar call. So as they sing this song, I want to challenge you to worship. If you need to pray, the altar's open. If your relationship ain't right, there is something coming upon this world. Jesus said, wars, rumors of wars. The end time's not yet. He said, but when you see the Gentiles in Jerusalem, when you see the Gentiles surrounding Jerusalem, you say, well, preacher, it happened in 70 AD when Titus's army went in there. Jesus said, this time it's going to be like never seen before. What are you saying? God deals according to covenant. I don't believe in replacement theology. I don't believe that Israel was replaced with the church. I believe God made a promise to Israel, and he made a covenant with Abraham, and he's going to stick with that covenant. And I believe we are engrafted into the vine. It's called replacement theology. Israel doesn't matter anymore. Watch and see. Watch and see. He made a covenant. God don't make promises and don't keep them. He keeps his promises. Whew. We're in a good spot, church. We're in a good spot. We're in a good spot. Real good spot. Southern West Virginia, don't worry, they'll hit the cities first. We're in a good spot. No, I'm talking spiritually. We're in a good spot. We're in a really good spot. We're in a really good spot spiritually. Why? You got an obligation, opportunity to help somebody. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this song. If you would, let's worship together.